Call the committee to hold for October the 1st to order. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Mayor Olson.
Here.
Alderman Dandrea.
Here.
Alderman Mayor.
Here.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Here.
Alderman Taylor.
Excuse.
Alderman Barber.
Here.
Alderman Nelson.
Here.
We have a quorum. Please rise and join the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have a quorum. Item two is review the mayor's budget. I'm going to do an opening statement. Then, as I have in the past, I'm going to leave you guys to do your business and turn it over to Alderman Dandrea. But first thing I want you to know is Mark's presentation of a month ago is really important because it set the foundation of where we're going in the future for how we budget. We just can't continue doing it the way we've done it, where we're always short. So if you were somewhat occupied with other things, I urge you to go back and read that introduction from the budget, because it does contain a lot of very good information and information that you guys can use going forward on any decisions you make on this budget or future budgets. I do want to compliment our department heads. They all worked very hard on their budgets. I looked at them each very closely. I didn't see any padding going on. They all did an excellent job at being responsible. And to a department head, they're all very responsible in how they handle their budgets. And I'm very pleased with them. I want to thank Paul and Mark. They did a hell of a job on this budget. It was a tough budget going in. And the net result, in my view, is a very reasonable raise in levy. And where we're coming up with additional dollars is also very responsible. So, Mark and Paul, thank you very much. And with that, I'm going to let you guys do your business and turn over to Alderman Dandrea. And here's a present for you, Mark.
Hey, thank you, Mayor.
That's a bribe.
That's a bribe. Give me some candy. Later.
Come back soon.
What did they call?
That's why I'm just getting ready.
No. Well, thank you. As the mayor said, department heads, thank you very much for working diligently to put together a rather comprehensive budget along with staff. I think where the council members come in is this is just to get clarity in regards to some of the numbers. And when I met with Paul and Mark, I had asked them to put together this summary of expenditures, which are going to be the critical numbers that I think a lot of you are going to want to take a look at. I don't know if necessarily we have to go through this section by section, but the dissertation that Mr. Liberta put together along with Paul had some very candid points, but also some rather critical points in regards to where we need to be to sustain ourselves just at a bare minimum, and then where we would be in a slightly comfort level. But then the highest point would be if we could reach that point, that would allow us flexibility with maintaining our staffs, okay? And so I think what we'll do is, Mark, I'll have you go through some of that first, okay, just as a reiteration for staff. And if any of you guys have questions, as Mark is going through sections, please intervene and ask those questions. Because I'd rather address those points right away rather than go to the end, and then we've got more confusion. Okay? So, Mark, would you like to do that, please?
Okay, so at your positions, I put two handouts. One, simply for convenience, takes four of the pages right out of the budget presentation from 2 weeks ago and puts them on one page, because that really summed up a lot of the general fund. So I wanted to be able to connect back to that through this initial discussion so you can see that that was all part of that. But I'll focus mostly on the second sheet that's titled Committee of the Whole 2019 Budget Discussion General Fund Expenditure Summary. So I tried to dig a little deeper into some of those numbers and break out where some of the changes are happening. So it's sort of a cheat sheet on where the changes occurred in the budget, focusing on the general fund in this one. The first are the personnel changes. We talked a lot in the budget presentation. That's, 80% of the budget, approximately. And so that is where most of the changes occur. There's a summary on page 50 that shows all the impacts. The numbers that I have written on this sheet here really focus on the changes in this budget that relate to personnel. So if you look at these numbers I have that total down to 515,000 and compare it to the personnel summary on page 50, and you see it says 606, and you say, wait a minute, why is there about 100,000 difference? That's because some of the changes that are already adopted have impacted next year's budget. The wage increase you awarded employees in June, well, half that's being paid out next year. The other half of the impact will be recognized in the first half of next year. That's already sort of a done deal adopted. So I broke out here the actions that are different in this budget and how they impact it. And that's the 515 that I've listed. In those wages and roll-ups, it does include moving forward with WRS. That is a separate item on your agenda for tomorrow's meeting. The expectation, if the Common Council wants to pursue that, is if we get that go-ahead, we'll begin the work, try and get it on the Personnel Committee with all the details worked out at their meeting on the 15th, and then back to your meeting on the 16th. That gives us one extra meeting if there's further questions, where we could still get a resolution done and signed into the state before their November 15th deadline. So that cost ends up being about $97,000, primarily focused on the difference between the WRS's employer share, which next year will be 6.55% compared to the 5% we currently have that we pay for general employees in the defined contribution plan.
Mark, that $97,000, what does that represent as a percentage?
Well, for
if we were to look at saying, hey, maybe we want to hold off on this for a year, would that, I mean, I'm not saying we are, but what does that represent in regards to a percentage on the effect of our cost?
Like how much would it change that tax levy?
Yes.
Sheet on that. I know I do too, but you might see yours more quickly.
I did not bring that.
Okay, if you don't have that answer right now, don't worry about it. But that's something that.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, bring it back to tomorrow. You can let us know tomorrow on it. But that's. I want the council members to be armed with that information if they are thinking of anything in this budget. That they understand what the possible ramifications is or the benefit is if we look at detaining that. And I don't know, Mark, if you wanted to elaborate a little bit about WRS.
Well, that's on the agenda for tomorrow, so I think we'll talk about it a fair bit then. But the city's contribution costs to go up and employees' contribution costs will go up to. Right now, employees have a mandatory 5% contribution. If they make the switch and join WRS, their contribution, which will be a deduction from their payroll, will go up to 6.55% as well. So they'll actually have a reduction in their take-home wages starting January. We do have a wage increase scheduled in here that is a commensurate 1.55%, but as with our wage increases for the last few years, it doesn't kick in until the middle of the year. So it's sort of a catch-22 there. Although their take-home would be lower for 6 months, it's not like we're necessarily taking away from it. It's just sort of a forced, you know, early contribution to their pension, so it's all money that they would get. But we recognize that take-home pay is something that a lot of employees focus on. But it isn't a cut that we're taking and directly benefiting from. We're actually adding our portion of the funding in for the full year.
Mark, can I ask a couple questions here?
Sure.
We just got this sheet now, and so it's the first time we're seeing it. You've got the wages, the roll-ups, and then total. So total doesn't add up to the other two being added on, and it doesn't all add up to the $809,000 on top. What does total mean?
No, that's just the total for the wages and roll-ups. If you add the 301 and the 159, I will. I think I just have a typo there.
Okay, that's fine then. Yeah. As long as we know, because that's why it wasn't making any sense. And how much less payroll are we talking for the employees for the first 6 months? I mean, is that going to be a huge cut that you were just talking about?
Well, it would be an additional 1.55%. So if an employee is making, you know, $40,000 a year, that's going to be $620.
Can that be spread out over the year somehow? So
it is. It would be spread out over each pay period.
So it's not just for 6 months that they would be paying for it. They're paying for the first 6 months, but it's spread out.
Yeah, so that 620 would be spread out over all 26 pay periods. And then when they get halfway through the year, presuming that's when our wage increase is, as we've typically done recently, then they would be getting that 620 rate kicking back in. So that they would be back as if being held harmless.
The discussion tomorrow night would also include the benefits to the city and the employees if we went with the new program. I mean, not just the dollars and cents, because I think there's a whole rationale of positives and negatives to that question as well.
Alderman Barber, you got to remember, we may not go into a lot of detail tomorrow.
I thought we were talking about that as a line item tomorrow.
He'll bring back some points. Okay.
For which one? I'm sorry. Oh, WRS is a separate agenda item on tomorrow's council meeting. Separate. I apologize. I checked my summary sheet here. I pulled the wrong total when I was typing this. I was hurrying. So the 515 should be the 461,337 as if you added it straight down.
Okay.
So sorry. The 515 is the total from all funds.
Okay, and not that it matters, just that I was trying to figure out where that fits in. And again, we just saw this. So
the 301 and the 159 are correct, and the total would just be 461,337. My apologies. Also in there, as I mentioned, was that offsetting general wage increase of 1.55%. The progress to market rates, as approved by the pay plan and built into the pay plan, are included in there. There was some definite consideration made for the fact that both of our union contracts expire at the end of this year and need to be renegotiated, and they're not settled yet. So we've tried to anticipate that. In the payroll area, we also did increase the police and fire department overtime budgets, both by $25,000. Some years they go under budget, but most years recently they have been over budget, largely due to vacancies. So sometimes they have offsetting savings, and but not always enough to cover it. So we tried to fill that gap some to reduce the trouble. So the numbers you see there, it's 25 in the base wage plus 17. There was the 17.5%, the 43. Okay, so Paul's saying the 43.75 isn't there, just the 25,000
department
for each of those two departments. So the line item, I put 25,000, then I added in the 43.75 for the roll-ups on that, and Paul says that we just put the base 25 in, not the roll-ups. So it's more like a net gain to their overtime of about 20,500 is the net effect. There are a couple new positions included. A part-time assistant fire inspector. I left off the word inspector there. That's largely covered by state funding relative to the, what's the phrase?
2%
dues. So the state collects some money and gives it to us as revenue to ensure that we're doing two inspections per year. And there is a gap between what we're currently spending for the one full-timer we have and the amount of revenue that we actually get from that. And the department is having difficulty keeping up with the inspection expectations. So this uses that revenue to help ensure that he can meet the statutory expectations. He can go into that more if you need a further description. Permit technician, Scott Satula, our building inspector, is here if you need some further discussion on it, but sort of a summary is we're trying to get in sort of a mid-level permit technician to focus on in-office work and the smaller level permits, so the more experienced inspectors can focus on some of the big jobs we'll have coming through all the tickets and everything next year. And the important reason to do this, not only because of the increase we're having with, some of the big developments you've approved, the apartments, Ballpark Commons, but it's also some succession planning for us. We know we do have one inspector who's already indicated to us that they'll be retiring anytime between now and the middle of next year, and another one who could retire at any point. That will help ensure that we don't find ourselves dramatically shorthanded and unable to keep up with the work that our kids require. So
the number you're showing there, Mark, is base compensation plus benefits in that 76 number?
Yeah, and that's net of recognizing that the one person's part-time position, the one who is retiring, that backs out their wage too.
You feel that that's a competitive number in the industry for this position?
I think this is a new position title, so it would go to personnel, need to be created, and it's really expected to be sort of a entry level in that building inspection area. So it's trying to sort of target a niche, a niche, however you like to say it. It's not targeting, someone has 15 years doing building inspection, but targeting someone that can help increase his efficiency in the office by moving some of the smaller projects out of the way so the more experienced ones can focus on the bigger projects. During that same time, we'll be getting sort of to know the person, be able to begin to develop them, help train them so that we know they'll be able to handle that larger role if, we need them to then move into it.
So you feel that this is a better move than hiring a temp service of some type to do this? Or is that basically a not real issue or
scenario? I do. I've consistently presented to this board in the 12 years I've been here that although the private inspection services do claim to be able to save communities money by only charging permit fees. They are profit-based, and so the quicker they get in and get out and solve things, the better off for them. And I think it does create a greater risk of lack of thoroughness in the inspections, which is a public safety issue in my regard. We did have, early in my tenure here, actually just before I got here, it was wrapping up when I was first hired. They did use a firm for a while, and we had some problems with a very important job for a very important customer in this community. So it's something that I prefer to use employees, and I've stuck with that position, and that will probably always be my recommendation.
Okay. I just bring up these questions. So we as a council know that you've looked at that alternative and considered that alternative of thinking outside of the box as well.
I met with them a number of times last year, have draft contracts with them. They're having the same challenges hiring employees that we're trying to, you know, when we had vacancies. So I don't know that it's currently in our best interest. We were very fortunate with the hiring process we really went through. And right now, I think we're in a very good shape with a very motivated and competent department. So I'm hopeful it stays that way. And this is one sort of proactive step to try and keep us there.
Okay.
Just one that I talked to Mr. Mark Burr about briefly for our next meeting or whatever, something that would detail out the average assessed value of a house and what the proposed budget increase would mean to that taxpayer as a little cheat that I could hand people or share with people as to what the net of all this is for them in terms of a dollar of average assessed.
We'll put something together for you tomorrow. At your sheet, Paul provided a revision to page 15. It's labeled 15R. And what we'll do is we'll use those numbers and put something together to you. Yeah. So what we'll show is using a house of like a value of $100,000 this year, what the taxes would be, and then how that value is going to go up for next year, but then with the lower tax rate, what the net difference is, and break out that difference. So there's a couple options on which values to use, so Paul and I will compare notes on what we think is the most appropriate number, and we'll hand that out to you tomorrow.
Mr. Alderman Barber.
One thing I have for Glenn and for Mark, the $1 million amount for the 50 First Drexel project, is that a lot more than we had told initially to people along the way as to what it would cost given the alternatives of stoplights and stop signs and
the roundabout?
Yeah,
the initial estimate said $750,000 when we brought the, and that was the number was given at this by Sewer Pack, we used for free to do that study. We brought a consultant on board who has a lot of experience designing these. They thought that was light. I wanted to pad it a little bit in case something private birds ain't coming.
Because I'm just thinking that people see that now, and we've been promoting that it was a lot less at one point versus the stop signs. I'm just wondering how that would play out. That's all.
Mike, put your mic down a little bit. There you go.
Is that what the contract was? Is that a bid figure?
No, we haven't put it out for bid yet. So we anticipate that we'll have construction next spring, and so we don't know what it's going to cost yet. It's still just an estimate.
So it's a holding number.
So just a quick question off of that. So if that was the cheapest, as I recall, the roundabout was the least expensive alternative, and if it went up a certain amount, would it be reasonable to conclude that the other ones that were more expensive would have gone up?
Off the top of my head, I think the next practical solution was like 1.5.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And that would have went up to
10. Off the top of my head, 2%.
Okay, Mark?
Back to the little cheat sheet or handout. What, relative to personnel, what's not included in there, there is a page in the handout, an early memo from early in the process in the budget document that appears to show that we had funded a fourth battalion chief. It was a effort that we tried to do. The mayor was very interested in doing so, but ultimately wasn't able to. The added revenue for the ambulance ended up being used to help fund the department current staffing level and the city in general. So there wasn't an additional battalion chief. There is an additional utility administrative assistant, but that's not in the general fund. It's paid for by the funds of the sewer and water utilities. Health insurance is another big area of change in the budget. If we hadn't made any change to our current plan, we would have had costs of about 2.5, almost 2.6 million. The design changes that we did brought that down almost 250,000 to about 4.3. The high deductible plan offers even more cost competitive one, which with 100% participation would bring it down to about 3.6. We're anticipating a blended mix of employees with about 25% of them finding the high deductible plan advantageous for them relative to the modified PPO plan. And so we think that across all the different active and retiree employees, that cost will be about 4.2. So when you look at the wage increases in the WRS above, recognize that there is about 300,000 of savings that are effectively coming from employees in their health insurance side. So that really helped offset and cover much of those costs that you see up above, as well as far as the added WRS costs and things like that. The general fund net appropriation, so of all of that, the general funds portion, when you include anticipating a contribution to the health savings plans, health savings account for people who participate in the high deductible plan, that cost was $211,000, which worked out to 8.3% from where we were. So that actually ties in very well to what we talked about as sort of in the budget presentation as a goal, trying to achieve in that 8% shift is a expected realistic goal for the health plan. So we did end up getting to that level. It is worth noting, though, that is assuming and planning for some continued use of fund balance in that self-insurance fund of about $330,000. So we've had the balance there. We've been drawing down on it for the last few years. We're slowing down that rate at which we're drawing down on it because we don't want the fund too large, but we can't have it get too low either. And so hopefully the high deductible plan will be successful. And we'll have more people move into it in 2020, and that will help us be able to absorb some of that deficit that we have planned for this year. The contracted services, so I took all those individual little line items. Paul put together some summary sheets for me, and I just looked for the highlights of where the bigger changes. All the contracted services in total are going up about $124,000 across all general fund. IT maintenance is nearly $30,000 of that, but you've been investing heavily in your IT, updating it, putting in much better security, stronger networks. Valuable steps for an organization of our side, somewhere we probably should have been years before. And fortunately, with Jim Metelsky, who could not be here today, our IT director, we've made some significant strides in the last couple years. However, all of those, as I talked about the budget presentation, come with costs. you know, the annual maintenance costs for maintaining software, maintenance agreements for the hardware, you know, and if it's something we can extend, we get extended maintenance agreements to try and get more life out of the initial capital investment. But that is something that is driving their budget in particular. This does include payroll processing fees to try and get some efficiency across the city using electronic time cards instead of all the paper we do. We think it will definitely add some efficiency in finance. That would add fees of about $22,000. Every other year we have biennial actuarial services. We have to have some actuarial studies done for our the
post-employment
OPEBs, our post-employment benefits. And so this cost to go away in 2020 and back in 2021, and so that's about $7,500. Professional services and legal fees has about $7,500. So Jesse and his office are not funded out of the personnel because they're a contract basis, and that includes the, you know, assistant city attorneys that man the courts and that do the CDA and the commissions that they serve. So that sort of rolls up all of that. Radio maintenance, this is a county charge for that contract that the city agreed to participate in with police and fire. So that's a cost that's beginning to grow into our budget now.
A little clarification there. We agreed to join into it, but we really had no choice in that. It was a county mandate.
It was, yes. Ambulance billing fees. So this is a percentage cost. The revenues do go up, and when there's claims and collections against it, there are some added costs as well, and so we have to appropriate as an expense those costs. The supply categories went up about $92,000, and most of those are in a couple areas. We're anticipating some increases in fuel. Fire department will have increased medical cost supplies along with